Okay, Rabotai, welcome. Orachai Makadosh Parashat Haye Sara. So we're going to learn the episode at the end of the parasha, which is the lion's share of this week's parasha, is the story of Eliezer being dispatched by Avraham Avinu in order to find a shiduch, a zivug, for Yitzhak Avinu alav shalom. We know the story. He makes his way to the well, and he has his different signals and his signs that he makes for himself, and they actually materialize, and he finds Rivka. So the pasuk picks up here, we're in Chaf Dalid, chapter 24, and we're going to start from pasuk Chaf Tet, 29. Ulrivka ach. Rivka had a brother, Ushmo Laban, his name is Laban. Vayarotz Laban ila ish. So Laban runs towards the ish. The ish is in the Ezer, the man. Nahutza ila ayin. So he runs towards him outside to the ayin, to the well, to the spring. Vayhi kirot etanezem. So when he saw the nezem, he saw the jewels, the tatzimidim, the bangles, al yideh achoto, he saw that his sister was all, you know, bedazzled with all the jewelry. And when he heard the story, how Rivka told over what happened, everything that Eliezer said, so Laban approaches the Ish, again that's Eliezer, omed ala gemalim. He's standing ala gemalim. Well, I'm not going to explain it yet that he was standing on the camels. He wasn't an acrobat, but I guess it means v'hineh omed ala gemalim. He was standing by the camels. I think that's the way that she says it as well. Ala gemalim, by the camels, in order to watch them, in order to protect them. Fine. V'yomer, so what does Laban say? Bo beruch Hashem, baruch haba, lama ta'amod b'chutz. Why do you stand outside? Anuchi piniti habayit, I made room in the house for you. There's a place also for your camel. So that's the basic story. And we know the story already. Again, back to first grade. In first grade, we were told that when Laban was like a sniffing dog. You know, he didn't smell narcotics and he didn't smell, illegal substance. Laban, his nose is sensitive to money and to valuables. So he sniffed out that Eliezer has with him, you know, precious, precious gems. Therefore, he ran towards him. He figures he makes friends with Eliezer. Maybe he can make some money on the deal, as we know. And then eventually, he invites him in. A simple pesukim over here. Nothing difficult. But the Orachai Mekadosh, because he has a question, a very strong question, so because of that, he creates a whole new mahalach, a whole new approach. And what happened? His question is like this. We have a klal. We have a rule when God in the Torah is introducing the names of people. So we have tzaddikim, we have good people. We have rishaim, we have bad people. So when God is introducing a tzaddik, it always will tell us his name following the word Shem. So for example, there was a man called Boaz. So the pasuk says, Ushmo Boaz. His name was Boaz. And throughout the Tanakh, we see that. We have, for example, also in Megillat Rut, Veshem Ha'ish Elimelech. This was when Elimelech, he was the leader of the generation. So it says, his name, Elimelech. It always will proceed with the word Shem and then put the name. As opposed to when a person is a Rasha, it'll put his name first. For example, there was a Rasha called Naval. So the Pasuk says, Naval Shemo. Right? That's the Klal Rabotai. So again, we're assuming that we know Laban is not a good guy. Laban is a Rasha. So when the Torah is going to introduce us to Laban's name, it's probably going to be in the way that all the Sha'im are introduced. Their name and then the word Shemo. So it should say, Laban Shemo. However, if you look at the pasuk, it says Urifka ah. Urifka had a brother, Ushmo Laban. Ushmo Laban. That's like Ushmo Boaz. That's like B'shem Ha'ish Elimelech. Es Torech Makadosh. Was Laban a tzaddik? Why does he get mentioned in the way that tzaddikim are mentioned? That is his first question. Again, something that passed us by all these years. From these two words, and more importantly, the placement of these two words. Laban, it should have said, V'Laban Shemo. But it says, Ushmo Laban. Was Laban a tzaddik? Furthermore, the pasuk writes, Vayarotz Laban el Ha'ish. He ran towards Eliezer, Ahutza. Fine. But only after it says he ran towards him, does it say that only then by he can otetanezem et atzemidim. Then he saw all the jewels and the bangles. What sounds like, says Urachim HaKadosh, that initially he wasn't running because of the money like we always learned. We always learned he saw the money, he ran, he's like a magnet. But it doesn't sound like that from the pasuk. It sounds like he ran. It doesn't tell us the reason why he ran, but he ran. And then only in pasuk Lamed, does the Torah tell us, oh, when he saw the Nezem and the Tzimidim, then it says, Vayavoy Laish. So based on this, he says something incredible. He said, Laban was a big brother, or brother, a big brother, obviously, to Rivka. And like brothers should be concerned, he was worried about his sister's welfare, worried about her safety. And all of a sudden, he sees that this goy called Eliezer, never saw him before, this stranger, all of a sudden has something to do with his sister. Laban, knowing the nature of the world, right away is concerned, what did this man do to my sister? Now he's courting her, he's taking her. What happened? She's a young little girl. The first thing that came to his mind is that Eliezer was up to trouble. And therefore, like a good brother, Laban ran towards Eliezer, initially not for money. He ran towards Eliezer to beat him up. And at that point, says the Urachim HaKadosh, Laban is indeed a tzaddik, because he did the right thing. If you think that your sibling is in trouble, and you're going to now make what we call kana'ut, you're going to be zealous in order to protect your sister, you think she's in danger? So Laban did the right thing. At this point, he wasn't selfish. He wasn't doing it for any gain or monetary benefit. So the pasuk says, indeed, initially Rivka has a brother. And it says, well, Rivka, he acted like a brother, which means a brother that's concerned about the welfare of his sister. Ushmo Laban, like Ushmo Boaz, which means he was a tzaddik at this point. In this sense, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not cancel the good of the bad person. So we don't say, well, since he's a bad guy, so anything he does, we're just going to cancel. Even the bad guy, God says, if he does something good, we're going to give him the credit. Like it says, "En HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mekapeyach, does not diminish the sachar of Kol Briyah." That even if he's Laban ultimately, we know Laban's Rasha, but if he did something good, the Torah will point it out. And therefore, Ushmo Laban, and that's why read the pasuk properly. Vayarotz Laban ila isha chutza ila ayin, period. Without any ulterior motives. He ran towards the man to protect his sister from a goy stranger. Only when he got close, pasuk lamed, vayhi kinot etanezem etatzemidim. Oh, now we started to see that's not what he thought. He started to see that she has jewelry on, that it doesn't seem like this man was trying to take advantage of the girl. On the contrary, he gave her matanot. And then he listened to what his sister had to say, Ushomo, and Rivka. And Rivka made it very clear that this man does not have any sinister tricks up his sleeve. Kodi ber el ha'ish is what he told me. Now the pasuk says, now he comes close to him. But of course, he came close to him to invite him in when he saw that his intentions were not bad. So that's the first beautiful explanation. Who would have ever thought that we have something good to say about Laban? Found something good. Maybe that's why they call him Laban. Laban is white. He had a redeeming factor. There was a white part of him. There was a pure part of him. And that was what he did in the first introduction that we read about Laban. But now we go further. The Pasuk tells us, Vayavo Elaish, he comes towards Eliezer. Now, where was Eliezer? Veine Omed Ala Gemalim. Now, we explained that he was standing by the camels. And what does he tell him? Bo Beruch Hashem. He tells him, Baruch Haba. Bo, come. Lama Ta'amud Bahutz. Why do you stand outside? Now, if you're inviting somebody, really the word should be the opposite. You should say, why do you stand outside? Bo Beruch Hashem, come inside. Why does Laban reverse it? Bo Beruch Hashem. Bo, come in. Lama Ta'amud Bahutz. No, first you say, what are you standing outside for? Bo, come inside. So the Orach Medrash says again over here, another fascinating part of the story. I guess, listen, when you read it through the eyes of Hazal or through the Mefarshim, you get a much different view of what really happened. So he comes along and he says that Eliezer, right away when he saw Laban running, he saw that Laban, when he got close, was trying to take the money, which is the real nature of Laban ultimately comes out. I mean, Laban is only at Tzaddik for 3.5 seconds. And then after he finds out that there's money to be made, so Laban needed to protect himself from Laban. So what did he do? The Midrash, he quotes Yalkut Shimoni, Berech Avdalid, Ot Kuftet, that Eliezer took out the Shema Meforash. Eliezer had a certain, the names that Abraham gave him, that taught him, special name of Kabbalah. And all of a sudden, the camels started to fly and hover over the well. You ever hear of flying camels? Well, now you did. The Pasuk is telling us over here that the camels started to fly. And what? Eliezer also went up in the air like a drone, and he's flying over the camels. So why? So Laban will not be able to access them. So the Pasuk says like this. Vayavo Elaish. Laban approaches Eliezer. And where is Eliezer? Vehineh, and behold. The word Vehineh means something sudden. When you use the word Vehineh, it sounds like something new, something changed over. Vehineh, and behold. Omed ala gemalim. Eliezer is standing on the camels. And where are the camels? Ala ayin. And the camels are over the well, which means now we have a long distance conversation. Eliezer is hovering with the camels over the ayin, like the pasuk says, ala gemalim ala ayin. And where is Laban? Laban's down on flat ground. So the first thing he has to tell him, vayomer, bo beruch Hashem, come down first. He has the tamaru, I'm not going to hurt you. I want to invite you for dinner. Bo beruch Hashem. And once Eliezer starts to descend, he makes a safe landing, and then he tells him, "Lama ta'amud b'chutz? Why are you standing outside? I would like to invite you in for some hospitality." So again, you just see, because of a few words that the Torah HaMekadosh is able to point out, their position, the order that they're written in, the Torah is so deep. The Torah does not have to tell you every single detail. The Torah is able to write a story using certain words and putting them in certain pattern, and if you make the proper observations of the Yukim, you'll be able to figure out the details by yourself. Well, thank God that we have the Orach Haim HaKadosh of Haim Ben Attar that was able to unravel that for us. In the meantime, I wish all our listeners a Shabbat Shalom and Mevorach.